Bienvenue à Québec. F1 returns to Canada, eh? For the 7th race of the season, specifically to the lovely city of Montréal in the Français-speaking province of Quebec. Since 1978, the Grand Prix has been held at this unique venue, now named Circuit Gilles Villeneuve, which uses park streets on the Île Notre-Dame. Teams will work to find the best car setup for 70 laps of long straights, slow corners, and a tight hairpin, such as Turn 10, L'Épingle. Brakes will be used heavily here, and the tires will shed clag. We find familiar teammates and rivals starting from the front. But how bulletproof is Mercedes-Benz, and can they continue their season sweep? Or will a kerfuffle caused by some hoser mix up the field and change it up? Grab a 2-4 of Blue A and an order of Poutine, and stay tuned. C'est la Desiree, and this is your F1 Weekly Canadian Grand Prix Racecast. Au revoir.
Hi, I'm Marcus Ericsson. You're listening to F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 657, June 12th, 2014. Nasser?
This edition of Canadian Grand Prix Podcast is brought to you by Victoria Bitter. The dingo does it on the Île Notre Dame, and we love it.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, what can possibly top Oh Canada? Fernando says Red Bull winning gives us hope. Hamilton needs to respond, and now, and of course, we've got Motorsports Mondial with the King of Karachi and 50 words from the F1 Weekly Forum members. Nasser, welcome to the studio. What was going on in Canada?
Man, this was a super doozy, super mega Ferdinca motor race. The only thing that can top this is Steve Faub coming back to F1 Weekly and saying, Yahoo Ads!
Well, C-Fob is stuck in Germany. You know, they're debriefing him right now.
Wow.
Could take a long time, Nasser.
Don't tell me he's sharing the cell with Bernie Ecclestone.
I heard, you know, they were close by and communicating.
Okay.
Well, there you have it. Anyway, Canada, unbelievable. We thought Bahrain was great. Bahrain was nothing.
This was too much, man. This was too much. And I'm going to tell you what, we'll talk about the race winner, but the guy who really impressed me in this race very much so is Nico Rosberg. And when he was leading in the late stages, the race was in Canada, and it kept reminding me of a great, one of the greatest wins in motor racing by Gilles Villeneuve in the 1981 Spanish Grand Prix. It was pretty much the same scenario, and I was lay excited.
Yes. No, it was outstanding, unbelievable. And not only that, but on the previous podcast, after we spoke about Monaco, we discussed and I brought up the possibility that if Nico can continue the bars on the cage to quiver, especially in Canada, that would be a significant testicular, I mean, we're talking heavy-duty titanium attachments here.
Jeez, titanium, wow. Lewis, better go to Alcoa on Monday.
Absolutely, I'm serious. Nico Rosberg, I mean, I know, and it's just going to be an unbelievable season with this battle. And we needed this battle to make us forget about the noise. And this certainly has worked. I mean, this was a great Grand Prix. This was a great weekend. I have to admit, I sort of wish I was there. The weather was outstanding. And it was just what Formula One is supposed to be for us.
That is very true. And, you know, it's interesting. When Lewis dropped out on the first race in Australia, he was behind 25 points. He had to work hard, four wins in a row, to take the championship lead. He has another DNF. Now he's again behind over 20 points. So this thing is going to be very, very exciting as the season progresses. And I think somebody's going to get bitten by the double points in Abu Dhabi, also known as Abu Dhabi.
Well, I certainly hope that the double points actually become insignificant and they help one of the lower teams on the grid because they need the cashola. But let's not forget, the DNF Chapel has an office in Monaco, always has.
Yeah.
And that office is extremely busy, and this was outstanding. Now, let's talk about qualifying. It was the usual suspects, of course.
Yes.
My favorite is Pastor Maldonado. You know what? I think he's going to be my favorite driver of the year. I mean, he's with a team now that's languishing when last year they won the first Grand Prix out of the box. And he's looking over at Williams and watching them perform quite well.
Yes, and he's wondering. I mean, apparently PDVSA, the national oil company of Venezuela, apparently, they had to pay like $25, $30 million to get their hombre released from the contract. And they probably paid a similar amount of money to Jenny Capital and Gerard Lopez and whoever was there and is there. So this is and to keep crashing. I mean, the guy was crashing in an exhibition event in Caracas. It's a pretty sad scene.
Yes, not only that, but I heard he crashed his Renault Twingo on the way to the track. I mean, it's hopeless.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's a papa. I don't think his wife should let him push the kid pram, you know.
Exactly. Just stay away from any wheels, period.
Exactly.
Yeah. But interesting qualifying. Pastor Maldonado and, of course, Shilton, Bianchi, Kobayashi, Ericsson, and Esteban Gutierrez did not participate, let's say. They had some serious issues over there at Sauber, and Sauber is going down the tubes. They want to forget this whole season. I don't care how early it is still. It's done. Kevin Magnussen couldn't get out of Q2. Nico Hülkenberg, you know, and I thought the Force Indias would look a lot better here at this track, but they couldn't put it together. And the big reason why is both Williams were outstanding here. Valtteri Bottas and Felipe Massa, I was very impressed with their qualifying form. I thought Felipe maybe was getting excited, finally realizing that, you know, the shock of Ferrari is wilting away. And, of course, for me, Fernando Alonso could only do 7th, Kimi Raikkonen down in 10th. Ferrari, you know, they're just cooked. They're cooked goose. So, but still, I thought qualifying was exciting. Anything standing out for you?
No, it's just pretty much the usual stuff. I was very, very surprised when Lewis could not get the pole. It was a close call, but, you know, this is the track where he has won quite a few times. That's where he won his first race. And, you know, it's pretty obvious, Pretty Boy Floyd or Brittany or whatever you want to call Nico Rosberg, he is not going to roll over and play dead for Hamilton.
No, and that was the beginning of it. That was the beginning of Nico's strategy, is taking that pole position. Once Nico had that pole position, it gave him that extra boost, that extra confidence, and it just put another asterisk next to Lewis Hamilton, who should have had this pole in Canada, expected to have this pole in Canada. It was almost a given that Hamilton would bounce back from Monaco and have this pole. And sure enough, Nico listened to his papa, who I'm sure has been giving him advice all weekend long, and he did it. This was the beginning of the Rosberg empire taking over.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I think it's but we have to keep in mind, you know, there were two DNFs. There has been two DNFs for Lewis and none for Nico Rosberg. And I have to say, Lewis is a pretty hard charger, so he may create some of his own problems. but I just don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for one of them.
It's just, no, I agree. It's not going to be a cakewalk for any of them, but still, at this specific race, I think Nico Rosberg really pulled out all the punches and did what he needed to do in the world of psychology in Formula One.
Well, you know, like Lewis Hamilton said, he was from Stevenage or whatever that town is called. And Nico drove like, to use Lewis's analogy, Nico drove like he was from the ghettos of Monaco. There is one there.
Exactly, because you forget, he's from east side of Monaco.
Yes, you know, Pontfil, huh?
Exactly, but still an outstanding job. Of course, another Mercedes front row. And I thought Sebastian Vettel getting back into the groove of things. Daniel Ricciardo, I think he said he had a scrappy qualifying lap. We expect him to always out-qualify Vettel, but Vettel did an outstanding job putting that thing in P3. Renault was happy about it. Valtteri Bottas in P4 on the second row. Our friendly F1 Weekly Finn is doing a great job at Williams.
Oh, yeah, he is doing. He's a good talent and also a very, very nice kid. He's so easy to deal with, so a very pleasant personality. But, Clark, I got to tell you something about Daniel Ricciardo. You know, a long time ago, he was racing in Formula BMW Asia. And a few years ago, I was talking to a gentleman who was involved in that series as a team owner. And incidentally, the gentleman is from Canada. And I brought up, this was 4 or 5 years ago, and I brought up the name of Daniel Ricciardo. And he just had nothing but like super awesome comments about this guy. And then I've spoken to some of the drivers who have raced against him in junior series. They just think this guy is an excellent, excellent race car driver. And also always smiling. And I saw him briefly at the Red Bull, the energy station with Dr. Miguel when I was there in Spain earlier this year. It was possible for me to go and have a chat with him. He was all by himself. But, you know, I did not do that because they always have these watchers and gatekeepers. So I thought, you know, just play safe. But I would love to sit down and have a chat with him.
I think that's going to happen real soon. Now, for me, I was very happy for Felipe Massa, who was out-qualified Fernando Alonso. I mean, these days with the Ferrari being what it is, I'm glad to see Williams out-qualifying the Ferraris. It's fantastic. I'm happy for Frank. I'm happy for all the team, and I'm even happy for Patrick Head, who's retired and hanging out in the UK.
Yeah, he has very close links with the Williams team. But, you know, they came awfully close to winning this race. Awfully close.
Awfully close, but there's a certain mindset that takes over the body when you're in F1 and you're on the final laps.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that later on.
Yes.
Thank you very much. But anyway, so it was very exciting. I enjoyed it. Now, I know that you have something, some information about the quali teammate comparison.
Comparison. Yeah, it's very interesting. The F1's newest race winner, Senior Daniel Ricciardo, has out-qualified Vettel in 5 of the 7 races so far. So it looks like Red Bull has given wings to another very talented young driver. They have also clipped the wings of quite a few drivers, but apart from Sebastian Vettel, DR looks like the real deal. And Dan, the new man, is much like his namesake from Newport Beach, California, Mr. Dan Gurney. Hard to see a photo of these men not smiling. The Aussie mate is now the 105th driver to win an F1 championship race and sport's first new winner in 2 years when your favorite, Ricciardo, won the 2012 Spanish Grand Prix for Williams. Daniel is the 4th Australian to win a Grand Prix after Jack Brabham, who passed away recently, Alan Jones, and the man he replaced at Red Bull, Mark Webber. Brabham and Jones also won in Canada. Now, we also look at some other team, and it's pretty interesting how it's working out. Among the championship leaders, Mercedes, of course, score is 4-3 still in favor of Lewis Hamilton over Nico Rosberg when it comes to qualifying. In the house of Maranello, Nando has the master bedroom, out qualifying Raikkonen 5-2, and that's pretty impressive. You know, if he's qualifying 5-2 and he had to hustle and bustle and do a lot of texting, with the rookie as his teammate. That really tells me how good Lewis Hamilton is. But moving on, 5-2 is also the score at Force India in favor of Nico Hülkenberg over Sergio Perez. At Toro Rosso, Jean-Éric Vergne over rookie teammate Daniel Kvyat. 4-3 picture can be seen at Williams. Bottas prevailing over Massa. At Marussia, it is Jules Bianchi over Max Chilton. At Sauber, it is Esteban Gutierrez over Adrian Sutil. Button is also 4-3 over new boy Kevin Magnussen. And Kevin is still looking for his mojo from Melbourne. And hopefully it will come back soon. Marcus Ericsson out-qualifying Kamui Kobayashi in Barcelona leaves only one driver who has not been faster than his teammate in qualifying so far this season. And one of these qualifying sessions, he will be faster if he can complete the session without crashing. And you know who we are talking about.
My friend.
Yeah, amigo Pastor Maldonado, 07 against Romain Grosjean. So there you have it, senor.
Yeah. And Romain Grosjean is another story. Lotus was looking so good. Romain finally got his act together. And now it's a sad state of affairs. And it's really sad for Romain Grosjean because he's a fast, young, quick driver and deserves a better package.
Yeah, you know, between him and Nico Hülkenberg, they really deserve to be with the top team. You know, McLaren, Ferrari, Red Bull is not going to take them. But at least with some outfit where there is imminent hope.
Yeah, I completely agree. So there you have it, Naz. Keep up the good work.
Okay, sir. Continue, yeah. Please.
So, yes, a great race. And when it came to race day, what really impressed me, of course, we had great weather. It was a little warm, actually. But and the tension. I mean, ever since Hamilton referred to the Prost-Senna days, I'm always expecting something scary to happen at the beginning of these races. You know, is Lewis Hamilton okay? So I thought this Grand Prix start was fantastic because Lewis Hamilton makes a fabulous start, pulling alongside Nico Rosberg, running side by side down to turn one. But Hamilton, you know, he thinks he's got it. And then Rosberg says, no. Hamilton backs out of it, runs into the grass, and Sebastian Vettel slips into second place. Doesn't keep it for long. I thought, once again, Nico Rosberg is being testicular.
Yeah, sure. He left did not give much room to Lewis, but this is motor racing and start of a Grand Prix, so no surprise there. And sooner or later it's going to happen that these guys are going to, whether it was their intention or not, they're going to take each other out. And who knows, Bottas may win a Grand Prix.
And, you know, that would have been exciting if we had I can't imagine seeing Felipe Massa up there crying. It would have been like watching Jean Zalesi winning on his birthday, crying and tearing up. That would have been glorious.
Yeah, but that could be the motivation he needs.
That could be the motivation he needs. Now, of course, a huge crash between the two Marussias. One blames the other, and we have a safety car.
Yeah, that was pretty pathetic. They went from the highs of Monte Carlo, where Jules Bianchi scored their first ever points, then taking each other out. I don't want to take sides, but looks like Chilton kind of lost it and, you know, ran into his teammate. I mean, pretty sad, but pretty pathetic when it happens on the opening lap.
And that's the problem. You know, the back markers are usually right next to each other because they're both back markers. So you have to be careful. But Max Chilton did understeer into Bianchi. And I don't know, if you look at the film, I call it a race incident. You know, he lost control of his car. Unfortunately, Bianchi was in front of him, and that was the end of it.
Yes.
There you have it, and there you go. And it shows the moments of glory and then the agony of defeat.
Yes, and you know, if you are fighting for a solid 18 on the final lap, that's one thing. But to do it on the opening lap, very sad.
I agree. It took a number of laps to get this cleaned up. But Nico Rosberg is kicking ass. This is his race. And on the restart on lap 8, boom! He does an outstanding job. Lewis Hamilton is still trailing in third place. Sergio Perez passes his former teammate Jenson Button in the final chicane for 10th place. So all in all, in the middle of the race, there was some passing, but I was really impressed how Nico Rosberg kept Lewis Hamilton at bay. It was tit for tat. Sometimes he had a fast lap. Sometimes Hamilton had a fast lap. It was very, very good stuff.
No, also, it was very impressive by Nico Rosberg, no question about it. And, you know, over the years, they have what they call the wall of champions, and things go wrong. The track is very hard on brakes, and you have marbles and people slipping and sliding. With Lewis putting pressure on Nico, I was really very impressed. I think this was probably, for me, this was the most impressive race I can remember for Nico Rosberg.
Absolutely. On lap 13, Daniel Ricciardo is all over the back of Felipe Massa's Williams, but at the end of the straight, the Australian heads right to the pits. On lap 16, Fernando Alonso is all over the back of Jean-Éric Vergne. Toro Rosso's always in the top 10 these days. They're doing an outstanding job, and the battle is for fifth place. And then, of course, Vergne pits. Sebastian Vettel is in the pits as well on lap 16. And the Red Bull driver was running in third place. So Red Bull is doing a great job. Williams is doing a very, very good job in staying in the top six. I was very, very impressed. Kimi Raikkonen, you know, he's had some bad luck. He's not comfortable in the car. Now Ferrari is saying that he's having very similar problems as Fernando Alonso, meaning that nobody's special. He's just as good as Fernando. And that's how it is. So keep up the good work. How do you think Kimi Raikkonen is going to do this year?
Well, you know, it's they have to have a quick car to win races and all that. And the way things are going, Red Bull seems to be making some progress and catching up to, even though they're still far behind Mercedes. But I don't think the mojo is at Maranello right now. I think they're going to be suffering. And Nando has outqualified this guy 5-2. You know, sooner or later, we'll be looking at like 10-3. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And I think as the season gets on, both Kimi and Fernando, who are great drivers, but they're only interested in F1 if they're winning.
Right. But you know, the difference there is Nando is very committed. Team likes him very much. You know, what I don't understand, and I'm a huge Kimi Raikkonen fan based on his natural talent, as you know. What I don't understand about him, he was so impressive with the Renault, head and shoulders over Romain Grosjean most of the time. Won a couple of races, and now he has come to the ultimate benchmark these days as a complete driver, which is Fernando Alonso. And it's just you're wondering, you know, what is this, a Massa or a Rubinho?
Rubinho. I wonder how the four-legged Rubinho is doing these days.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, but, you know, I tell you something. People at Ferrari, especially Luca, has to be wondering if they had not been better off bringing Jules Bianchi or Nico Hülkenberg and, you know, give them some training, put them under the stress of a major team. And if they're not winning, if Nando is not winning, you cannot expect Jules Bianchi to win. But they could have groomed one of these guys to be the next superstar.
I know. And we've been scratching our heads with that question for months now. Lap 24, Lewis Hamilton is now hunting down Nico Rosberg. He could smell that Monaco crepe that Rosberg had for breakfast. Outstanding. Lap 25, Kamui Kobayashi has a spin in turn one. And Kamui's been having a problem with turn one. And unfortunately, this time his rear end has collapsed. Sort of a bizarre thing. I wasn't sure where the damage had occurred. It was pretty good. Lap 26, massive lockup from Nico Rosberg as he's struggling to get the car slowed down for the final chicane as Lewis Hamilton continues to close the gap. So we're beginning to see the beginning of this brake problem in Canada. And Canada has always been famous for brakes. I'm surprised the teams are not more prepared. I remember many years ago, well, it wasn't many years ago, maybe 10 years ago, Williams was disqualified for having oversized brake ducts because they were trying to be prepared for the evil on the brakes in Canada. So I was surprised that the brakes, a lot of teams got caught off guard for some reason or another. But don't forget, we've got rear brakes by wire now. That energy is being transferred into the electrical battery system, the blah blah of the blah blah. So it's a whole new can of worms.
Yeah, you know, talking of brakes, we haven't heard of the Brembo, Hitco, and Carbon Industries in quite a while now.
Yeah, because that's because those are real brakes. They're not electric brakes. I don't know what's going on, but I miss Hitco. You know, and maybe Peter Windsor started that whole thing.
Yes.
I remember at McLaren in 2007, one was on Hitco and the other one was on Carbon Industries.
Wow.
That was exciting. But then I was excited when we had Michelin tires.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, talking of Michelin, they're coming back in MotoGP.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Bridgestone pulls out. Michelin comes back. What's up with all that?
You know, their lettering on the tires, you know, and adds blue with the Bibendum there. It's pretty cool. I like that.
You do like that?
Yes. It's not as impressive as Gitane, but it's very, very Francais.
I know, but Gitane makes you cough.
Yeah, but you know, some of these Michelin, Mobil, Pegasus, they, I mean, you watch a picture or a whatever, you know, 100 years ago of a street race in Pescara or Rimini or wherever, Pedralbes in Spain, and you see these signs, Alfa Romeo, Mobil Gas. To me, this is very, very nostalgic and very important.
I agree. No, I love to see the Gitane and the Gauloise, all the vintage stuff, Marshall.
Yeah, boy, do I love that logo.
Yeah, Marshall's a classic logo. Anyway, let's get back to this Grand Prix. Nico Rosberg on lap 31 is told that he needs to increase fuel savings. So, you know, the Prius isn't doing good enough. You're going to have to, and they had some weird words over at Red Bull. Was it Red Bull that said you have to do the double hoagie?
Something like this. And, you know, you're referring to Prius, so maybe we should call the Caterham Tundra.
Don't worry about the Tundra. I'll get to the Tundra when I start bringing up, you know, Junior.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Lap 33, Lewis Hamilton can't get close enough to Nico Rosberg to launch an attack. I don't think there's going to be any more attacks. That's what I think. Lap 36, Valtteri Bottas pits from 5th and rejoins in 12th behind the McLaren of Jenson Button. It's not an ideal outlap for Bottas. And sometimes I'm looking at this. Why didn't they wait and pit him on the next lap so he didn't come back into traffic? Sometimes some teams don't do a very good job at that. And this is where Red Bull and Mercedes do a very good job in pitting and getting him back out into clear air. Lap 40, Lewis Hamilton has closed up to Nico Rosberg. Both drivers are still lapping considerably slower than those behind them. Something has happened. The Mercedes have a problem. And it's weird because they both have the same problem at the same time, which to me means some kind of software issue.
Yeah, and I had an inkling if there's a problem. Lewis has a habit of calling and talking about different issues during the race anyway. But, you know, when both teams were cars were having some issues, I had a strong inkling that one of them is going to be done, blowed up, or DNF.
Yeah, I was surprised to see Kimi Raikkonen did a spin very similar to Kamui Kobayashi in his Ferrari on lap 41. He sort of fell asleep. Oh, whoops. Poor Kimi.
Yeah, it is a strange situation there.
Yes, very strange. Lap 45, Nico Rosberg pits from the lead, and there's a delay in fitting one of the tires before the German leaves the pit box. The German rejoins right behind Felipe Massa in third place. And now on lap 47, there's smoke coming from the back of Lewis Hamilton's Mercedes. The Briton slows to a crawl. It's not looking good for the 08 world champion. I'm thinking, Nico, bravo, bravo, bravo. Am I out of control?
Yeah, but that's expected, you know.
Yes, that is expected. Well, you know what? We don't have Flavio. Oh, and I forgot to mention, do you know who was in the pits for in the Ferrari garage in Canada?
Tell me.
You ready?
Please.
Fisichella, bravo, Fisico.
Magnifico.
Yeah, well, those are fond memories for me.
Yeah, it is. Do you remember Clark when he was on pole at Spa?
Oh.
In the Force India, and then came an opportunity to join and how that blew up in his face.
Oh, be careful for what you wish for.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that was... That was, you know, I was heartbroken for him.
He should have called, instead of calling his agent, he should have called Gianni Morbidelli and Luca Badoer for some pre-signing advice.
I know.
They have a prenuptial pre-signing advice.
I know. You know what? Isn't Luca Badoer still over there?
No, I think that pretty much.
Oh, no, he's in charge of maintenance, facilities maintenance now.
At the Iveco Trucks?
Exactly. Lap 54, Fernando Alonso is eighth and is the fastest driver on the track. So now we've got two Mercedes. Well, no, not Fernando. My goodness, Madge. Lewis Hamilton is out of the race. Nico Rosberg, very impressively handling this issue. He's slow. He knows everybody is catching up, and he probably knows the chances of him of winning this race are nil. Now, on the other hand, we have some Williams. We have Rob Smedley thinking, it's going to happen to us. I'm going to get my raise. This is exciting. Because for a minute there, it looked like Williams could put this one in the bag. Because Perez certainly had a chance at this podium, but he was having brake problems. I mean, how exciting was it for you?
Well, Clark, it was, for me, it was just like I mentioned, the 1981 Spanish Grand Prix, when Gilles Villeneuve was hounded by Jacques Lafitte, John Watson, Carlos Reutemann, and some other driver. And this went on for lap after lap. And I remember listening to that race on French radio back in Karachi. And it really was bringing back memories from that race. But, when you have so many cars running on a street circuit like this, I was expecting somebody's going to run into somebody. And since Perez could not pull away from these guys, I thought it will be Massa who's going to come through and win this race, and maybe, one of the Red Bulls. Because Sebastian Vettel has a lot of experience in how to win a race, and then Daniel Ricciardo is very hungry. But the way Massa was moving, I thought, this could be I would love to see a Martini colors in the in Parc Fermé after winning a race. So yeah. I had an inkling that this is going to be a fantastic finish. And at one time looked like Nico Rosberg was home free, scot free, and he was going to win the race.
Yes, no, I agree. But let's talk about lap 57. Valtteri Bottas is told to let Felipe pass. Bottas doesn't like that. He tries to pass Nico Hülkenberg, gets it wrong, and Massa gets passed anyway. Massa then doesn't waste any time in passing Hülkenberg as well before the final chicane for fifth place. This is exciting. Felipe Massa on 58 is absolutely frying. The Brazilian setting new fastest lap. Sebastian Vettel is in front. Now it's only 4 seconds, just 11 laps remaining. My God, Madge! Lap 60, Sergio Perez is now a half a second behind Nico Rosberg, and the Red Bulls are hanging on. Felipe Massa is now only 1.9 seconds behind in fifth place. Whew. Lap 62, Nico Rosberg has some breathing space. The German opening up a lead of 1 second, well, a little under 1 second to Sergio Perez. Felipe Massa is just a half a second behind Vettel. So these last 10 laps were excruciating for me. I mean, I was on the edge of my seat whimpering like a baby.
And I watched the race, and actually I was on the Wrigley's Double Men, Double the Pleasure program I was watching.
Really?
I was watching the NBC Sports on big screen, and I had my web thing. The audio was coming from Martin Brundle.
So I was doing a little bit of the same thing.
Yeah, and the last 10 laps for me were both Molson and Moosehead Good. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Lap 65, Nico Rosberg leads by just 1 second. It looks like he might be able to win. Then on Sergio Perez, he tells the team, pardonnez-moi, I have no brakes left. Lap 67, Sergio Perez is doing a great job defending third from Sebastian Vettel, with Felipe Massa just hanging on. Lap 68, Daniel Ricciardo now is closing the gap to Nico Rosberg. 0.7 seconds, the Australian could win this race. We've got two laps to go, and this is where the thrill, the excitement, the ABC Sports moment. Daniel Ricciardo on lap 69. Passes the Mercedes for the lead and wins this Grand Prix on the final lap. But we had, and the sad part is Pastor Maldonado wasn't even involved in this. Then it would have been even more exciting. Felipe Massa, Sergio Perez has no brakes. Massa's team should have told him his brakes are gone. Beware of Sergio Perez. Stay away from Perez. What do they do? Huge crash. Huge, huge, huge crash. This is the biggest last lap crash I've seen in a long time. And the stunner for me is Vettel squeaks right through it. So a fantastic crash. I mean, I was blown away. And to this day, post-race, Felipe Massa, Sergio Perez are still fighting about this, blaming each other, calling Perez dangerous and a vile Mexican. I mean, it's completely out of control. I can't wait for Brazil and Mexico to go up against each other in the World Cup. It's going to be Felipe and Perez right there on the field.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah, but you know, for me, the great part, obviously, I was very, very excited to see a well-deserving, very talented new race winner. But when I saw the guy who was going to do the interview on the podium, I said, well, this is serious, fantastic moment now.
I thought that was absolutely bizarre when they announced Jean Zalesi. I'm going, but, and I got concerned because Jean Zalesi, his one and only Grand Prix win is at Canada.
Well, I thought he was going to start crying, and both of them will cry on the podium.
Yeah, no, but I just didn't want Jean Zalesi to jinx Ricciardo.
Yeah.
I know, but these are, you know, we're very, very, I'm just concerned. So that was an interesting moment. I want to also mention Derek Daly was the FIA steward.
Yes.
That weekend, which I thought was very, very interesting. I can't think of anybody more articulate and fair as a steward.
Yeah, and you know, he lives in Indiana, so FIA didn't have to pay him a lot of money to get there.
Ah, it's all about the savings?
Yeah, and I believe Amtrak has first class also.
You mean he didn't slip in the trunk of Jean Todt's car?
I think Jean Todt travels in a FIA helicopter.
Or a Gulfstream. But anyway, a fantastic Grand Prix. Outstanding. I can't wait because now we're going to Austria, land of Red Bull. We haven't been to Austria, I believe, in 11 years. This is a nice facility, a beautiful facility.
Oh, yes.
So, no, I mean, this is one race that's going to be hard to top. But, Nasser, I have a funny feeling that we're going to see races as exciting as Canada further down the road.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think we're going to have a race in the rain or maybe a two races. I think we're going to have some I have a very strong feeling we're going to have another first-time winner this season.
I hope so. We need another first-time winner. The biggest problem is it could be Vettel because Red Bull has really picked up the pace in terms of pace, and they are probably the only team that's competitive. Williams is competitive, but they lack something right now. I mean, those kinds of mistakes on the last lap, you just can't do. I don't care if it's somebody else's fault. You can't blame other people. Sometimes you've got to look in the mirror like I do every day.
Well, you know, my favorite take on that is Monte Carlo some years ago. I think it was Enrique Bernoldi. Two drivers came up behind him. One passed him in a red car very quickly. The other was languishing behind him for many, many laps and then was complaining about him in a silver car saying, he cost me the race.
Yes.
Oh, excuse moi. One guy didn't have a problem. Why did you have so many problems?
Right. Yes. Right.
I mean, he should have been more careful, but it's easy for us to say this. But when you have a car that is, you're flying, like you said, because of new set of tires, he could have been, a little bit more careful.
A little bit more careful. The biggest problem is he was not thinking about the team and the points and the value in those points. They're millions and millions of dollars. Come in third, come in fourth, Felipe. You know, don't take so much risk on the last lap. I know it's racing, but still, I don't know. There's a lot of things you have to think about, and that's why you don't see people like Fernando making these kinds of mistakes. Now, I do want to say I was very impressed with Niki Lauda, who went to Christian Horner and Adrian Newey and gave him a big kiss and a hug, congratulating them. That shows that Niki is a class act.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, I got a chance to I've met him a few times, first time in 1982 and last time in Spain in January. He is so easy to approach and talk and just, you know, I said to him, you know, I want to come in to Vienna. And first I asked him, where do you live these days? He says, in Vienna. And so I said, hey, if I come there, can we do an interview? And he says, you know, the races are happening now, so I will not be in Vienna much. But not many people are so nice and easy to deal with at that level.
Yeah, like K.K. Rosberg.
Yeah, and the only one I can think of so humble and quiet and nice and easy to approach is the host of the world-famous podcast, you know, from California.
Oh, yes. But I heard he could be arrogant and a prude sometimes.
I have never seen that side.
Anyway, that was a fantastic Grand Prix. I enjoyed that immensely. I'm going to probably watch it again just to see Felipe Massa and crash and hit the wall.
Well, this kind of race, you know, I've seen this kind of races in a MotoGP and other series. You know, they really galvanized me, and my whole week or the 2 weeks or whenever the next weekend is just fantastic. And you know what is so interesting, Clark? When can you remember Ayrton Senna's teammate or Michael Schumacher's teammate or Jim Clark's teammate winning a race before they did in a season? Maybe it happened, but normally these things don't happen. But it's very interesting that Red Bull's first victory of the 2014 season comes from their new signing and not from the four-in-a-row world champion. And also first win of the season for your people, Renault, they who pioneered turbo power in Formula One. They have to go back to Detroit 1986 for their last turbocharged victory on board a Lotus and a yellow helmet. So it was quite an impressive weekend. And Daniel Ricciardo wins his first Grand Prix in Canada. And look at the company he has among drivers who also had their first success there. You mentioned Mr. Motivation, Jean Alesi. Lewis Hamilton won their first time in 2007 from pole. Then we have Thierry Boutsen and Robert Kubica. Remember his big crash, and then he came on to win.
Yeah.
And most importantly, local hero after whom the track is named, Gilles Villeneuve. He won the very first race here in 1978 in the Ferrari 312 T3, which is one of my all-time favorite piece of machinery. And the color scheme they had with the white band running on the front, oh, it was super bellissimo, senor.
I understand. So give us some championship standings.
Who do you think is leading?
Huh. One of those Monaco boys.
Yeah, you might get Flames breakfast. By the way, the flames that burnt down near your house, is it back in business?
Nope. It's still burnt down. They haven't torn it down. And as soon as I hear something, I'll have a full update.
So the Geico Gecko hasn't showed up trying to do the settlement?
Correct. I've been losing weight because of this.
Oh, wow. Okay, championship standings. First, Nico Rosberg, 140 points. Second, Hamilton, 118. Third, Daniel Ricciardo, 79. Fourth, Lando, 69. And fifth, Sebastian Vettel on 60 points. Constructors, even more dominating. Mercedes leading, 258 points. Red Bull, 139. Ferrari, 87, Force India, 77, and fifth is McLaren on 66 points. And just a couple of other things. You know, apparently Rosberg also lost hybrid power late in the race. So for me, this was a very, very impressive performance from this guy. The famous last word, okay, today comes from the, you know, world-famous and extremely popular F1 Weekly forum, courtesy of Mr. Leon Bray, who posted comments by the 1980 world champion, Mr. Alan Jones, on the Australian TV after the Canadian Grand Prix. He said, and I quote, "I don't care if it's 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to have a beer," unquote.
Bravo, bravo, bravo.
You know, there are some very interesting, if you ever get to read about Alan Jones and his background, some of the things that happened with him, which we can talk about some other day off the track, were very interesting because he's a tough Aussie, and there's some interesting stories about him out there.
And another thing I want to point out before we go to break is Nando is fourth in the championship now. You know what that means? Nando is usually second in the world championship in the last few years with a car that he's wringing the neck of trying to stay competitive. This year, he's fourth right now. That means Ferrari are going backwards.
I mean, Clark, think about it. The guy who dethroned and defended his title against Michael Schumacher in 2006 has not won a championship since that time. And people were talking about he's going to have 5, 6, 7 wins, championships. And Lewis has not won since he had his one and only championship. It's just a tough nut to crack to get these championships.
But absolutely.
You have to be in the right car at the right time. That's
absolutely. If the planets do not align, mm-hmm. it just doesn't happen. And I'm and I feel for Fernando because wherever he goes, I mean, even Mercedes a couple of weeks ago said that he's probably the best driver on the grid. I mean, everybody tells you you're the best, but he keeps checking the trophy case and it still says mild seven.
Yes, that is very true.
So there you have it, Nass. I'm done chanting and ranting. Anyway, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be back with Motorsports Mondial.
Attention, Formula One fans. How would you like to have access to an all-inclusive, USA-based Formula One website that provides discounts and reviews on Formula One ticket, apparel, travel, and collectibles companies? Go to F1FanAdvisor.com and see for yourself. Whether it's finding the highest-rated Formula One Momento stores, ticketing companies, or apparel stores, F1FanAdvisor.com is the place to find it. Plus, F1FanAdvisor.com has negotiated some serious discounts for USA-based fans with select companies on their site, so check it out now. And for a limited time, F1FanAdvisor.com is offering their free report, The 5 Costly Mistakes to Avoid When Purchasing Formula One Tickets, so you can avoid the ticket-buying pitfalls that most F1 fans make. Go to www.F1FanAdvisor.com to see how big of a discount you can get. It only takes seconds, and it's completely free. Get your discounts, plus the free report, The 5 Costly Mistakes to Avoid When Purchasing Formula One Tickets, absolutely free. Race to www.F1FanAdvisor.com now.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Swami, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and racing regards from ABQ in NM. We shall start with some Formula One news because F1 is F1. Chavsky is back. Clark, do you remember the Romanian dentist, Dr. Colin Collis?
Absolutely. Wonderful dentist. Pulled out both of my molars.
Wow. He is the Gene Haas of Bucharest. Looks like FIA will approve the entry he is heading by the name of Forza Rosa. His partner is an ex-minister who also happens to be the importer for LaFerrari in the land of Dracula.
That's great. Yeah. I heard that he's looking for a young gypsy lady to be his number one driver.
Oh, yes. Gypsy woman. Curtis Mayfield, baby.
Rock on.
Yes, sir. Vettel in a Ferrari. That's right. The amazingly talented Sebastian Vettel recently tested Gerhard Berger's 1988 Ferrari at a media event at the Red Bull Ring in Austria, where the Austrian Grand Prix will take place. And, of course, this was known as A1 Ring, then Österreichring. And, unfortunately, this is the track where Mark Donohue lost his life in 1975.
You know, Vettel looked pretty good in that car.
You think so?
Yes. Now, the interesting part is sometimes they'll put the young driver's name who's testing the vintage on the side, but that wasn't the case this time. It still said Gerhard Berger on there. I thought that was an interesting concept.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I know what they were doing. You know, Ferrari got some of the pictures, and they were going, you know what? Vettel looks pretty good in red. Fernando's getting tired and bored. We might have to get a Vettel.
You know why Sebastian Vettel's name was not on that Ferrari?
Why?
Because the case was being handled by the same attorneys who stopped Ferrari from using the F-150 model. Remember that?
I know.
That was a classic.
Well, you know, the F-150 in America and the Ferrari, they look so similar.
Exactly. And the clientele is the same, you know?
Absolutely.
Okay. Case closed. McLaren and Red Bull have agreed to drop their lawsuit over aerodynamicist Dan Fallows. According to Christian Horner, he has shaken hands with Ron Dennis over this deal. So looks like this will not be a problem that you cannot hire this guy, we cannot hire that guy. So that's good news.
Yes.
Trulli train may be electrified. Jarno Trulli may become a team owner in the new Formula E series. And I wonder if he will employ Fisico as his driver.
Bravo.
And as we have mentioned a few times, Michael Andretti is also a team owner in this ear-splitting high-voltage series. Now, this is very interesting. This is just fresh off the press, you know, the rumor mill. Has it that after every race, the national anthem will be replaced by Eddie Grant's song, Electric Avenue.
Which is a good song, by the way.
Yeah, it's a fantastic song.
Yes, yes, that's a very well-written song. And, you know, I read some reviews about how it feels to drive this Renault Spark car. I think that's what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because, I think it was Karun Chanduk who test drove it.
Wow.
And he's a good, articulate guy when he explains things. And he goes, it was amazing because all you hear is the wind.
Wow.
So it's sort of like being in a glider, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, for me, this will be as exciting as going into Taos or Santa Fe, New Mexico desert, and then look at some ant colony and see all these ants running around. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what? Let's just give it a chance, okay?
Yeah.
We, here at F1 Weekly, we keep an open mind, Nasser.
Yes. Yeah, as Rodney King would say, can we all get along with all these series?
Exactly.
Yeah. I believe they're going to have a race in the U.S. also, right? Right.
You know, that I don't know. I'm not sure yet.
I think they should have a race in Tennessee Valley.
Well, you know, I like the Tennessee Valley Authority.
Yeah, or maybe by the Hoover Dam. You know,
Dam would be good.
Yeah, they produce a lot of power.
Why don't we just have it over here at the Tesla parking lot?
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Yes, good idea. Okay, in Formula 3 news, the prestigious Zandvoort Masters race on July 6th. Will feature local lad Max Verstappen. His papito, Jos the Boss, won this event in 1993. Talking of F3, the FIA European Championship, Formula 3, of course, was off this past weekend. Their next bus stop is at Spa-Francorchamps on the weekend of June 22. Francais Esteban Ocon leads the championship with 232 points. Tom Blomqvist is second on 150 points, and third is Gerhard Berger's nephew, Lucas Auber, on 137 points. And a young kid by the name of Felix Reyes from Puerto Rico, you know, we've interviewed him before, he is also in this series. Max Verstappen is an impressive fifth with 80 points, and this is his first year in single-seater racing after going into F3 straight from karting. And has already won a race, very, very impressive. And so now, in your memory and in your honor, we have a little segment on World Series by Renault. Shall we proceed?
By all means.
I thought, you know, bonus time is coming. Important to keep you happy.
That's very true.
Okay, the guys and gal in this series have completed 7 races so far this season. This is the series which produced Sebastian Vettel. Past champions include Robert Kubica from Polonia, Robert Wickens from Canada, now a DTM race winner, and our friend Mr. Robin Friens from Netherlands. Russian Mikhail Alishin, who is currently racing in IndyCar Series, was also a past champion in World Series by Renault. He took the championship in the final race in the rain, and it may sound crazy, but he did beat Daniel Ricciardo to the title. Very dramatic. In the 2014 championship, Carlos Sainz is enjoying some smooth sailing, leading the standings with 124 points. Carlito won both races of the weekend in the last round at Spa. He also took victories at Motorland Aragon in Spain and at Monza in the second race of the opening weekend. Last year he was in GP3 but lost the Toro Rosso right to championship-winning fellow Red Bull Junior driver Daniel Kvyat. Second in the championship at the moment is yet another Red Bull Junior, Pierre Gasly from Francia on 81 points. He is winless, but so far has scored points in each and every race. He is from Rouen. And Clark, I was doing some reading on this kid. Looks like he's a very talented fast racer. And he is from Rouen, a town you are very familiar with in your native land. That is correct?
No, absolutely. My mom used to have her shoes made in Rouen.
There you go. And this is the place where Dan Gurney gave Jack Brabham his first Formula One victory as a constructor in 1964, I believe. Oliver Rowland from UK is okay in third with 74 points. He was a winner in the second race at Motorland Aragon. Dutch racer Betske Visser is the only lady in the series and is currently 20th in the championship. Her only point was scored at Spa. And this is a great racing series. I really enjoy it. And what I've been doing lately, Mr. Rogers, I've been watching a lot of YouTube on most of these World Series by Renault, European Formula 3, and DTM races are uploaded on the web within 24 hours. So I'm enjoying a lot of these things. This weekend is the Le Mans 24-hour race, Toyota on pole with Kazuki Nakajima, Alex Wurz, and Stefan Sarrazin. Second pole for Toyota at Le Mans. Has anyone seen the crash of Loire Duval and his Audi a few days back? Did you check that out, sir?
Yes, it's pretty grueling, pretty brutal. Destroyed the car. I'm really happy that he's fine, but he won't be able to race. And the irony is I had posted a question and answer interview of Loic Duval on the F1 Weekly website like 3 or 4 or 5 days ago. So didn't mean to jinx him, but I'm glad he's okay. And this is going to be a great race. Yeah. With Toyota, Porsche, and Audi fighting for everything. And of course, you know, there's the whole field is peppered with great drivers from Villeneuve to Bourdais. So, I mean, Christensen, everybody's out there. This is a fantastic race. I wish I could be there, but I will be there one of these days, Nasser.
Yes, sir. I was there in 2009 when Peugeot won. And Clark, I got to tell you, I have to go to this race because I met a British journalist there, and he told me you have to see this race at night. He says when the sun is coming up, it's absolutely awesome. So maybe we should do this one of these days. And you know what I really thought was very, very cool. On race day, obviously, there is so much traffic. So what you can do is take the metro or whatever they call it, you know, light rail there. And from whatever part you're coming from, there is a station inside the track. And that was very cool.
Okay, we need some updates on any big news in Le NASCAR.
NASCAR, you know, well, Danica Patrick, the great American NASCAR driver, may be driving for Gene Haas in Formula One. I mean, how do people expect a driver who has never won a race driving a race car more than 50 miles per hour to get into Formula One is beyond me. And I don't know, I don't think you need to go to Stanford Medical Clinic to get your brain examined to figure this out. But I just don't get how the media is. I just have a feeling, you know, Danica Patrick is represented, I believe, by IMG. They probably make her available to the media to hype this thing up all the time. It's just ridiculous, you know.
It is ridiculous. But on the other hand, Gene Haas is not a stupid man. He's a good businessman, even though I don't think this thing is ever going to fly. Just mentioning Danica Patrick, F1, and a U.S. Grand Prix team all in the same package just gets a lot of attention. And if you're looking for sponsorship from an American company or something, Danica Patrick is perfect.
It has its place here in this market, but big American corporation, whether it's IBM or Apple, you know, once they are trying to sponsor something on world stage, they want a world stage player, you know. I mean, when you can get a person like Messi or, you know, Mark Marquez, who can bring you more international coverage. And at the end of the day, you know, whether it's people in America or anywhere else, they want to see winners. You know, I mean, I remember going to IndyCar races in the past when Rick Mears was there. I mean, that was a big draw for me. The guy was a tremendous racing talent. When Montoya came, that was a big draw for me. When Alex Zanardi was winning all over, that was a big pull. You know, so if you have some serious racing talent, like, you know, this guy, Mark Marquez in motorcycle racing. I mean, it's just so fantastic to see such a young kid, rookie world champion, win race after race and a championship in his first season. But this kind of behavior, you know, driver qualifies in 14, 15, and the camera is focused on this driver for the first 20 laps. I mean, to me, it's just, like, ridiculous.
I know. But there you have it. Still, Gene Haas is trying, and they said they'll be on the grid in 2016. And they've been working and talking to Ferrari for a partnership for parts that are prefabricated. I have one more thing before I go to 50 mots sur le Grand Prix du Canada. Is I heard somewhere, and this was shocking, that Juan Pablo Montoya was underweight?
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of work. And, you know, Mr. Penske, his employer, he wants things perfect. And in return for not going to McDonald's twice a day, he's now going to put him back in some NASCAR races also.
That's fantastic. I'm glad he's on the Carrot Juice program. So, Nas, thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. And now we're going to have 50 words on the Grand Prix du Canada. Okay, Kay Sin says, une course plein de spectacle et pas pour la première fois cette année. Dommage que le brave Massa et les pauvres Marussia n'ont pas fini. Leon Bray says, isn't it ironic? Red Bull reliability defeats Mercedes speed. Only 11 finishers with the race coming alive in the last 10 laps after another Mercedes demonstration run and a lead of 27 seconds. Great to hear that national anthem again. Well done, Daniel. Worth getting up at 4 a.m. now for the next Aussie win at Le Mans. To quote Alan Jones on the local commentary, I don't care if it's 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to have a beer. Neil Zapper, from free practice to nail-biting in, the Canada Grand Prix may have been the most exciting race of the season. What a weekend. Yay, says. Loved every minute. Great for Daniel. Great for F1. Who needs noise when you have competition like this? I wish Felipe hadn't been taken out like that. The last 10 laps make following F1 completely worth it. Rathump says, race of the year thus far. Congrats, Daniel. Koala. A lucky but great win for Daniel Ricciardo. He even got Vettel to be nice to him prior to and on the podium. Well done, Daniel. Philip Pegler, congratulations, Daniel, on a very impressive win. The consistency on the Ricciardo side of the Red Bull garage has been superb throughout the early part of 2014. A richly deserved victory for a hugely likable young man who has undoubtedly answered all of the skeptics, as if there ever were any. And Dr. Mark, the new technology delivers another classic, but full of surprises in the true Canadian tradition. Great racing and many good drives, even if we didn't see them all. Rosberg, Ricciardo, and Button, to name but three. My failure to bet on Nico at William Hill's preseason odds of 9-1 is really biting now. Eric for OK. Mercedes goes backwards. Red Bull goes forwards. Williams and Force India get together. And Chemix finally says, it was too quiet. What's that you say? Best racing in years? Couldn't tell. I couldn't hear it. Hopefully, these are the signs of an exciting second half of the season ahead. There you have it. Thanks, everyone, for contributing to 50 Words on the Canadian Grand Prix. So, Nasser, another outstanding podcast. That was exciting. That was an exciting Grand Prix. And, of course, now we go to Red Bull country, where everybody has wings.
Yes, and it should be a great race, great facility. And, you know, going back to Le Mans this weekend, Porsche is back, so that should be interesting. And Mark Webber, you know, he could be flying there, not the way he was with another German make. But,
yes. No. It's going to be exciting. I expect Mark Webber on the podium. That's what I'm thinking, and that's what I'm going for.
Well, I will not be surprised if Porsche wins. But if Toyota wins, it will be the first Japanese win since Mazda winning there long, long time ago.
I know. No, that's exciting. This is going to be a great, great, great Le Mans, the 82nd running. So, I'm going to try to watch as much as I can.
Yeah, I think they're doing a huge coverage on this on Fox Sports, I believe, right?
I'm not sure. I just hope some American TV station has something going on.
Yeah.
And, of course, we got the World Cup. Boy, everybody's watching the World Cup. It's exciting. I think Brazil is going to be hard to beat this year.
Yes, sir.
And, of course, excuse me. But great racing weekend. It doesn't get better than this, Nasser.
No, this is very exciting. And like you said, World Cup football is going on. This is great sporting times we are in. And let's just keep hope that we have another fantastic motor race in Austria. And then pretty soon they'll be at Silverstone. And then Spa, such a beautiful place, and then Autodromo Nazionale di Monza. Any chance we might see Mr. Rogers in Austin, Texas?
Not one.
Okay.
I'm done with Texas. I'm free of Texas.
Oh, wow.
But my prediction for Austria is Valtteri Bottas wins.
That will be very, very cool. Very cool. Martini on top.
There you have it, Nass. I want to thank all the listeners who listen. Good night.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.